Good evening, Pastor Ed Rice here this evening and from Good Samaritan Baptist Church. This is our Wednesday evening Bible study program and prayer time. And appreciate again that I could meet with the deacons, at least came online with Zoom, and we did have a good discussion about prayer and a good time meeting together in that venue. And I wanted to go ahead here and give you a recording, at least, of the Bible study we had for this Wednesday evening. We're reading our Bible through. I trust you're on schedule. And if you are, we're closing out the book of 2 Samuel this week. And so I'd want to go ahead and present to you again some thoughts out of 2 Samuel in chapter 19. So if you'd open your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 19, we'll go ahead and start there. Look at some of the characters in David's life. You almost need a playlist to keep track of all these. And so tonight in our Bible study, we want to go ahead and consider some of the characters in David's life here in chapter 19 of 2 Samuel. So have your Bibles open there. I appreciate again that we can get this out to our folks in a recorded format, and appreciate again your faithfulness to the study of God's Word, even though we are unable to gather together as per normal, and looking forward to a day when we will start gathering together again. Good Samaritan Baptist Church is not closed, so our offices are open, and I stay available for pastoring and counseling. And also, we've been meeting on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock to record at least a service, and many of our folks have showed up to participate in that and to gather together to worship. I appreciate, again, that we can do that and keep going this way again through the next month at least, and getting these recordings out. We'll find a better way to get the recordings out. I put all of them on CD and been playing them in my car, and decided that's a good venue at least to get the preaching and these Bible studies into the hands of each of you. And Lord bless you. If you'd like a CD of these and you have a means of playing that, it'll play on any computer, it'll play on any DVD player for your television, and it'll play on most car stereos. It don't play on my... They're all MP3 files, and my Buick doesn't play MP3 files. But anyway, you get a hold of these, and again, the Lord will bless. They'll be up on our website under gsbaptistchurch.com/audio as well. And so you find them, search them out, and take full advantage. And we want to keep going in a couple of the Bible study series that we have going. And here on Wednesday nights, we've been doing our book club kind of an idea, where we follow a format of the book club, but instead of just reading an old book, we're reading the Holy Bible. Four chapters a day times 7 days a week is about 28 chapters we're going over. And there's just stuff you'll bump into reading your Bible through, Genesis to maps, as it were, that you will not bump into any other way. And so here we are in the book of 2 Samuel, and chapter 19, if you have your Bibles open there, let's go ahead and read there. Let me go ahead and read for you first chapter 16 and give you a setting for where we're at here. It says, "And when David was a little past the top of the hill, behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine." And so that's the context where David is fleeing before his son Absalom. That's another whole message of Absalom and how he was wronged, and how David was a little bit negligent as a father in dealing with things in his own household. And now we are again coming to a place in chapter 19 where Absalom has been slain and David is coming back into Jerusalem. So that's the context of our reading here, and we want to learn some things again from each of these characters including Ziba that I read about there, and Mephibosheth that we read in chapter 16 and verse 1. Open your Bibles again to 2 Samuel chapter 19. You follow along as I read from God's holy writ. And it was told Joab, "Behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son, and the people gat them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, 'O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son.'" Father, praise you and thank you again for your word. Thank you that we could read it. There's such a depth of characters that we could study. There's such a depth of principles that we could learn. And I pray that we draw a few out even here tonight in this Bible study that would help us even through a coronavirus, even through isolation and separation, even through our love for you and our desire to tell someone else about you. I pray, Father, again, that you'd use your words tonight to tug on our hearts anew and afresh, and we'll give you the praise in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, again, here we are in this context where we have a whole roll of characters that are involved in the overthrow of David's kingdom, and then David coming back and putting it back together. So we're kind of starting this in the middle, and we'll work both ways. But notice here we have David on several instances in these closing chapters of 2 Samuel behaving himself without wisdom, behaving himself in a clumsy manner, without the leadership, again, that we're used to. You know, it's an awful thing to grow old. As we do that, again, sometimes we find out that, sure enough, we do start falling apart. We do lose memory. We do lose even leadership skills here for David. And so David has several things that come out in the close of his life. And here, let's go ahead and look at some things David did wrong, some things David did right. But more so, let's look at the characters that he's surrounded with. And here we've already been introduced to a fellow named Joab. And Joab, again, was the captain of the hosts for David's army. Amasa, we'll meet here shortly, was captain of the hosts of Absalom's army. And so these are the generals that are in charge. And here's Joab, and pick it up in verse 5. "And Joab came into the house of the king and said, 'Thou hast shamed this day the faces of all thy servants, which this day have saved thy life and the lives of thy sons and of thy daughters and the lives of thy wives and the lives of thy concubines, in that thou hast thine enemy, thou lovest thine enemies and hatest thy friends. For thou hast declared this day that thou regardest neither princes nor servants. For this day I perceive that if Absalom had lived and all we had died this day, then it had pleased thee well. Now therefore arise, go forth and speak comfortably unto thy servants. For I swear by the Lord that if thou go not forth, there will not tarry one of these of thee with thee this night, and that will be worse unto thee than all the evil that befell thee from thy youth until now. Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told all the people, saying, Behold, the king doth sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent." Notice that Joab here is very aggressive. He is, again, Joab's one of the men that was with David right from the beginning. We find that Joab was the one that earned his position as the captain of hosts for David. when David said, boy, if anyone will go in and conquer Jerusalem, I'll go ahead and make you captain of hosts. And Joab jumped up and tore into the job. And so Joab was one of David's valiant men. He'd served him here ever since they've been gathered together with his 600 men in exile. And Joab has been with David a long time. Joab interacts with David in several ways, but always with a straightforward aggressiveness. And being a warrior again in the military, he sometimes did things a little different even than David, who was king. And so here's Joab, and he jumps in, gives this advice to the king, and he is again captain of the hosts. Look down in verse 13 here, and you find out that Joab gets fired, okay, just a few verses later. In verse 13 it says, and say to Amasa, art thou not of my bone and of my flesh? God do so to me, and more also, if thou be not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab. And so here again he fires Joab as captain of the host, and he installs, believe it or not, the enemy, his enemy again, who was the captain of the host with Absalom. And so we got this drama playing out here in this first chapter. And a couple things here again about Joab and David. It says in 1 Chronicles 11:6, and David said, whosoever smiteth the Jebusites first shall be chief and captain. So Joab, the son of Zeruiah, went first and was chief. Joab was chief throughout the reign of David, as I had just said. Notice also that David was tiring of Joab and his brothers. And it says in 2 Samuel chapter 2, just previous here, and there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was a light of foot and a wild roe. Then in chapter 3 and verse 39 it says, and I am this day, this is the king, King David, and I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness. So David was quite displeased with Joab previously for some of his actions. And we find here that now he fired him and installed Amasa. Notice why he did that in this verse. God do so to me also, if thou be not captain of the host before me continually in the room of Joab. Verse 14 says, and he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent the word unto the king, return thou and all thy servants. So this move by David was evidently successful in that, again, it unified the two sides and brought them all to seek after bringing David back. But we do find that things are happening here, and let's go ahead and pursue this problem a little further. How long is Amasa king of, or captain of the host, and what happens to Joab? Well, I got a little acronym here in my Bible that says Amasa was selected in 1913. He was stalled in 20:4-5, and he was slain in 9-12. And so jump over to the next chapter real quickly, and let's look at those two instances. Amasa stalled in chapter 20 in verse 4-5. Then said the king to Amasa, assemble me the men of Judah within 3 days, and be thou here present. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, and he tarried longer than the time set time which he had appointed him. Amasa was incompetent. And so again, Joab, who was competent, he was a lot of things, but boy, he was Johnny on the spot for all these years for David. And so look with over with me at verses 9 And it says there in 2 Samuel chapter 20 and verse 9, then Amasa took no heed to the sword that was in Joab's hand, so he smote him therewith in the fifth rib and shed out his bowels to the ground and struck him not again, and he died. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued after Sheba, the son of Bichri. And so again, here he's taken off, and finally Amasa shows up, and Joab just walks over and kills him. It goes on there to describe how he's wallowing in his own blood in the road and causing an interference in the battle. I won't read that because it's too bloody. But again, to understand that Joab here again puts himself back in as the captain of the host for David, and he stays that way to the end. However, there is a retribution for Joab. Remember, Joab's got to be, I'm going to guess, maybe a little younger than David, let's say. And when David was now old, he gives advice in 2 Kings chapter 2. He gives advice to Solomon, his son that's going to be king. And when he gives that advice to Solomon, 2 Kings chapter 2, take note of it, we'll get there shortly in our Bible reading. But that's a very interesting chapter because in one chapter, Solomon takes care of all these hanging over problems that we're going to look at in chapter 19. Solomon takes care of them all in one chapter, and it's only the second chapter after he's become king, okay? And so 1 Kings chapter 2 is, again, the demise here of Joab, and look what he says. David says to Solomon, well, don't look, just listen to me here, and we'll get that on a second, or 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 5 says, moreover, David speaking to Solomon, moreover, thou knowest also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner. Now Abner was Saul's captain of hosts, and then he was Ishbosheth's captain of hosts, and Joab and David made a league with Abner to bring Israel together, and Joab then in the same way, the same fifth rib, killed Abner the son of Ner. Thou knowest, he says, what Joab did to the two captains of hosts of Israel, unto Abner the son of Ner, and unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew, and shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle that was upon his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore, he tells Solomon his son, according to thy wisdom, and then he says this, and let not his hoar head go down to the grave in peace. Now that has a H, not a W, under whore head. That's talking about a gray head. And doubtless Joab already had a gray head at the time that David said this. And we find in the same chapter, in verse 28, it says, then tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And then, again, as we understand the story given there in 2 Kings, Solomon had him slain right there at the brazen altar. Consider again that what it says there, that Joab had started hobnobbing with Adonijah, Solomon's older brother. Solomon had just had Adonijah, his older brother, slain because he was trying to step in and take power again. And Solomon had learned some lessons probably even from his brother Absalom and some from his father David to again immediately deal with any kinds of those underpinnings and possible uprisings in his future. And so there's Joab. And he's slain. Again, as you look at all this, what else did I have here? Oh, some stuff on Abathar. Let's go ahead and so that's Joab anyway. Let's go ahead and look quickly at Abathar. I didn't do a character study on Abathar, but I wanted to teach you how easy it is. If you get your Strong's Concordance and look up Abathar, the priest, he's the priest that had escaped from when Saul slew all the other priests. So here's Abathar. He was with David all along. And in 2 Kings chapter 2, you find that Abathar, during the same uprising of Adonijah, he's dealt with by Solomon as well. He's not slain because he is a priest. And so studying Abathar and all his playings, all his, again, intercessions for David, again, his dealings here and siding now with Adonijah is dealt with. And so as we look at that, it's a good character study to learn some things about Abathar. As I say, there's tons of characters right here around David. We have Joab, Shimei, Ziba, and Barzillai that we're going to look at, but also others here. Absalom is a character study. Zadok is another that we aren't going to really do. And then Abathar, then I'll leave an assignment to the student of the Bible to go ahead and do a study on him. Back in chapter 19, we got to move quickly here. We'll never get through all this. So look at chapter 19 again, and let's look at another character that has to be dealt with, and his name is Shimei. It's probably Shimei. E-I is a, what do I call that? In Greek, it's a diphthong, and E-I sounds as A, as in eight, E-I-G-H-T, eight. I think that's right. So anyway, Shimei, 2 Samuel chapter 19, verses 16 and 17, if you look at it, it says, "And Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite, which was of Birhim, hasted and came down with men of Judah to meet David. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him." This is with him and Shimei here. Or with Shimei. And then it says also in 17, "And Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons was with him, and his 20 servants, and they went over Jordan before the king." So here comes two people now, Shimei, and both of them we're going to study a little bit. Shimei here, notice again that he comes and hasted and came. Shimei, we'll find out, had wronged David in his exile. He was of the tribe of Benjamin, and he said, "Aha, now's our chance." Remember, Saul was of Benjamin, and Benjamin was thinking that, hey, things are going to flow back to the tribe of Benjamin now, out of David's hands, and we're going to end up in charge. And so they kind of supported the overthrow of David, hoping that they could again put a kin of Saul back on the throne. Strange. Anyway, so here's Ziba, also that we're going to look at. He had the same inclinations probably in the beginning, but he was more subtle. So Shimei, look at here in chapter 19, look at verses 18 and 20. "And there went out a ferry boat to carry over the king's household to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king, and he was come over... as he was come over Jordan. And he said unto the king, Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did previously, the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king." And so here we have this guy Shimei. And I guess it'd be good for us right now to jump back and see who this guy is and what he had done that he had sinned. Many of you are familiar with the story, and we had just read it in David's going into exile before his son Absalom. Let me jump down in my notes here and find a verse that we could read that kind of explains what he was doing. So we see he did have a change of heart here. Let's go ahead and see in chapter 16. Let's turn back a couple chapters and look at chapter 16 and verse 9. There's a lesson to be learned here from David as well. For 2 Samuel chapter 16, look with me at verse 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king. Oh, wait a minute. Let's back up a couple more verses. And verse 7, and thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee. This is Shimei yelling across the valley from David, King David, as he departs from Jerusalem. And he's picking up stones and throwing them at David. And he's cursing David. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai, we didn't really do a study on Abishai. I signed you to do that, and here he shows up. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? No, I'm sorry, this is Joab's brother. He's one of David's mighty men, by the way. And he says this, let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. That's a good Baptist solution to a lot of problems that we have, too. Sometimes we'd rather do that than be reasonable. And so I'll just let that pass. Verse 10 says, and the king said, watch now the king, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so? And David said to Abishai and to his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowel, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. And so notice again David's response there in chapter 16 at the cursing and the carrying on of Shimei. And you find out if you read down through the rest of that portion of scripture that Shimei goes on and on, following him along, throwing stones, cursing, and making a big scene as David's leaving. And I'm sure those sons of Zeruiah again were holding on to their swords and hoping again for a chance to go over and lop off his head, and he probably deserved it again for the things that he was doing to King David. However, David's response ought to be similar to ours, that when we're in persecutions, when we're being attacked, understand that God is allowing that. When we're going through this coronavirus, God is allowing, I'm not saying God sent it, I think Satan sent it, and it's a power move by Satan, and I think it's a power move on Satan's part against the United States. I think, again, Satan would be well pleased if Joe Biden were president, and Satan, again, has greater powers than Shifty Shift or Nancy Pelosi, and so Satan is involved in our politics as well. And they said, again, all of them said, the only way we're going to get Trump out is if we can collapse the economy. He's got the economy on his side. This was 2 months ago. And they actually said out loud, if we could destroy the economy, we might be able to win the election. But how are we ever going to do that? Well, Satan probably heard him and said, hey, I can do that. And so here we are with a collapsed economy in the United States. And again, I think that was the act of Satan. However, God did allow it. And here we sat under it, and it's having an effect on his church. And again, all things work together for good to them who are called according to his purposes. So even in this persecution, let's look for, even as David did here with the cursing of Shimei, let's look for the good and pursue it. and understand God's allowed these things. God, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor God's seed begging bread. He'll take care of us. He'll be with us. But as we go through these things, look for an opportunity to grow. Look for an opportunity to increase your testimony for the love of Christ and increase your witness to tell others about what's going on. A lot of people asking a lot of questions about the end times. We need to be ready with an answer, and we need to, again, use this to the advantage of our witness, of our relationship, even of our little church's growth there. I don't know how we're ever going to grow. We weren't growing the other way. So perhaps, I was in a conference this week with pastors, and several of them said, man, they have doubled their outreach by live streaming their services. And people are looking for a place to go to church, for a church that's still open. And one folk said they had three people saved since, again, this mess started, and a couple of them in the parking lot of their church where they were doing services. And so, again, churches can indeed thrive in this. And, boy, we sure need to do that. We need to grow. But even if we don't, again, understand that we can grow spiritually. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ can grow during these times if we, again, keep our mind on and our head on straight, even as David there did under the cursing of Shimei. Jump back to chapter 19. Let's look at what happened next again. Remember the first response to Shimei of his men was, let's lop off his head. Look with me, I think it's in verse 20. Nope, verse 21. So we read down through verse 20. In verse 20, here's Abishai again. The son of Zeruiah answered and said, he was the same guy that wanted to go lop off his head. Shall not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the Lord's anointed? Verse 22. And David said, what have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah, that ye should this day be adversaries unto me? Shall there any man be put to death this day for Israel? For do not I know that I am this day king over Israel? Notice the self-confidence in David. Notice his reliance again on the fact that this thing is over, and God has given them a tremendous victory, and they are now being reinstalled again as the king. So there we have again this guy Shimei and some things that David reacted well with as far as his attitude during this cursing of Shimei and now the results. But look again at chapter I won't have you look there, but let me read you a verse out of 2 Kings again where these men are dealt with. David's advising Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 2, and he says this, and behold, thou hast with thee Shimei the son of Gera, a Benjaminite of Berharim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Menahem. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now, therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man. Remember, they're speaking to Solomon, his son, as he's setting him on the throne. Thou art a wise man and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him, but his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. That's hoar head with a W, not with a W, but with an H. Again, speaking about Shimei as an old man, which he was again in this instance when Solomon took over. And so we find that Solomon in 2 Kings chapter 2 again, or 1 Kings, I keep saying 2 Kings, it's chapter 2, but it is 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2, David, or Solomon, has a chance to deal with Shimei. And again, what he does is he puts him in house arrest in Jerusalem and says, if you ever leave Jerusalem, you'll be slain. He left Jerusalem, and Solomon slew Shimei for his disobedience. And so again, as we look at these, I love chapter 2, we're going to get to And all of the king's enemies are dealt with by Solomon, even as he's instructed by his father. Let's look at another one. Jump back to chapter 19. And look with me at verse 17. And there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him. That's with Shimei that came back and to apologize to the king for his stupidity. And then it says, and Ziba, the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, and they went over Jordan before the king. And so you'll notice here again that, and we read him in chapter 16 and verse 1, that he came and saw off the king with much provision from the house of Saul. He was a servant of the house of Saul. If you remember him, he was working for, at this time, Mephibosheth. And so now we're again coming to a place where we're going to deal with Ziba. And to do that, we got to understand a few things about Mephibosheth. It says in, well, I only read verse 1 of chapter 16. It goes on in verse 2 to say, and the king said unto Ziba, what meanest thou by these? And Ziba said, the asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread, summer fruit, for the young men to eat, and the wine, that such be faint in the wilderness may drink. So here's Ziba. Notice he comes back with Shimei, because again, undoubtedly, he was having the same thoughts. And we can see that Ziba was outright against David. Shimei was outright against David and cursing him. Ziba here, he was one of those subtle guys that says, hey, I'm on your side. Let me do everything I can to help. But he was really, again, striving to stab David in the back. Make no mistake about it. Look at verse 24 of our chapter. That's right where we left off from Sheba. The next verse, verse 24, 2 Samuel 19 and verse 24 says, and Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and had neither dressed his feet. Remember, Mephibosheth was the son of Saul, who was, or not Jonathan, who was lame on his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. So undoubtedly months here that he had not taken care of himself. Verse 25, and it came to pass when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, that the king said unto him, wherefore wentest not thou with me, Mephibosheth? And he answered, my lord, O king, my servant, that's Ziba, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. And then it says in verse 27, look at this, it says, and he, Ziba, hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine hands. And so, again, David here saying, Mephibosheth, whose side are you on? Why didn't you come with me? And Mephibosheth is saying, hey, I've been slandered by my servant. He told you some things that ain't true. Verse 28, for all my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet didst thou set thy servant among them that did eat at thine own table. That what right therefore have I yet to cry any more unto the king? And so here's Mephibosheth, and again, understand that that verse goes on in chapter 16 that says, and the king said, and where is thy master's son? Talking about Mephibosheth. And here's what Ziba said in verse 3 of chapter 16. And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem, for he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. Then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine and all that are pertained unto Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, my lord, O king. And so David had given him in charge of the whole household now, since Mephibosheth had turned and wanted Saul to be king. In reality, it wasn't Mephibosheth that turned, was it? It was Ziba who had lied about Mephibosheth. It was Ziba who had come with Shimei again in order to restore the house of Saul, was his thinking. And then verse 29, where we left off in 2 Samuel 19, verse 29 says, "And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, Thou and Ziba divide the land. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house." And so, notice again that David, I don't know what to think of this, but David did not seem to deal with Ziba. Maybe it was his idea of conflict avoidance. Maybe there was enough other stuff going on. That's the last we hear of Ziba again. And so he got away with slander. He got away with taking the whole household of Mephibosheth away. And Mephibosheth, again, was just comfortable to stay with King David and be faithful to him to his death, which we find that he was. So again, there's old Ziba again. And there's one more that I want to look at. How long we've been going here? Only 40 minutes. So, man, we're going to go for a whole hour here. That'll be great. Let's go ahead and look at Brazil I, probably, if AI is a diphthong, Isle. And so, Brazil I, the Gileadite. And he comes and he meets David in verse 32, right where we left off. Verse 32 of 2 Samuel 19 says, "Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old. Fourscore is 20. Four of them is 80 years old. And he had provided the king of substance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem." So Barzillai was one that came and met David and his household, and his servants gave to David provisions for his time in exile, and they took care with their riches and their greatness, Barzillai's greatness. They took good care of David watched out for him. And it says in chapter 17, I think it is, and it talks about him that they brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse and honey and butter and sheep and kine of David for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, "The people is hungry and weary and thirsty in wilderness." And so there's this Barzillai. He took good care, and he watched out not only for David, but for the people. And with his greatness, he gave kind of like he gave it all, their whole list of things that he and others with him gave to sustain David while they were in this exile. The reason I wanted to get Barzillai in here, because look at the worth of an old man. And as we get older, again, things... look at what he says, anyway, about his age, again, being an 80-year-old. You know, we don't have a lot of time here on this earth. 80, that's 60 plus 10 is 70 years, is what the Bible says is a life expectation for a believer. Again, as we consider that, we reach the end of our days, and we can't do what we used to do, we can't accomplish what we used to accomplish. It's very frustrating. Listen, sometimes it's even very humbling. Again, and many people are in a position even today where they've got to take care of their parents, because their parents can't take care of themselves. Growing old's not a pretty thing. Here, as we look at this description, this kind of struck me again as the reality of life, the reality of death. And Barzillai, verse 34, said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? So, you notice you lose an ability to do reasoning. I was always, as an engineer, again, I love deductive reasoning. I loved, again, logical thinking. But, man, now that I'm 67, I'm pushing on the 70 age. I look at that and say, you know, I just can't think as fast as I used to. Someone else who can't think as fast as they used to is a guy named Joe Biden, but that's enough of that. Let's just pass on all the blunders he's doing again in public position. And so we grow older, and here he says, can I discern between good and evil? What are you going to do? Am I going to go back and be a judge? No, I can't even be a judge. Again, you look at old men, and there should be wisdom there. But sometimes you look at old men and you find nothing but senility there. It's a sad thing, but it's a truth. And so again, as we look here, the first thing he mentions again in his aging process is, can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat? We lose our taste. One of the things of coronavirus is that you lose your taste, sense of taste and smell. I was on the way to a meeting once, and I listened to NPR often, and they had authors usually reviewing on Saturday mornings. They review some of their stuff, and anyway, they blurped into an article, a news flash, that said, if you lose your ability to taste, statistics have shown in a study that you'll probably be dead in 7 years. People who lose their ability to taste, the statistics say you're going to be dead in 7 years. And the reason I remember that so well is because we got to the meeting, and there was an old fella in our, this was a book review meeting that I went to when I was trying to learn how to write. And there was an old fella that was there who said this. He said, man, I've completely lost my ability to taste. They had some refreshments there, and he said, I can't taste anything anymore. And I remember thinking, man, they just said that you're going to be dead in 7 years. So I went ahead, I was a nice guy, and said, you know, you're on the verge of death. let's be kind. And so notice here again, here's Barzillai, and he says this, can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Then he says, can I hear any more the voice of singing? It used to be we'd come over to Bev's mom's and watch Lawrence Welk, and the TV was blaring as loud as it would go to where it was all scratchy and snarly, so it wasn't very pleasant for me to listen to, but that was the only way her mom could hear the Lawrence Welk music. And so it was blasting. And so here the same thing. And now again, what I probably shouldn't say this, but here we are. We watched Lawrence Welk on Saturday night, and sure enough, the volume keeps getting louder and louder around the Rice's house. Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Now, Barzillai was a great man and had tremendous resources. And what he was saying again was, hey, I'll take care of myself. I don't want to be a burden to the king. I won't do any good. I can't hear. I can't taste. I'm an old man. I don't have judgment that I used to have. And so, boy, it's an awful thing to grow old. Look at verse 36. Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. And why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried in the grave, or by the grave of my father and of my mother. And behold, thy servant Chinham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good to thee. And so he gives him his servant, Chinhan. Chinhan goes with him. And you want to do another character study? There's one. Again, get your concordance. Look out Chinhan. Make sure you spell it the same way Barzillai did here in this verse. And you can do a word study of Chinhan and understand, again, his playing and learn this much, that he was blessed in the kingdom of David. Not only that, but his sons, Barzillai's sons, all show up in the kingdom of David and in the kingdom of Solomon, his son. And even all the way through the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, with the putting back together of the after the Babylonian captivity, what, 400 or 500 years after this, we find again that there's Barzillai's sons in a place, and there's a habitation of Chinhan showing up, that he was a long time blessing here, 400 or 500 years later, still being a blessing to the nation of Israel. And so learn some things here again about these character studies. I appreciate again that we could take a little bit of time and look at these tonight. And as we've done that, boy, again, just understand two things, that this is a tremendous book. And there's no little incident in here that's isolated. It isn't. Well, God has a reason for every little thing he puts in this book. And if you learn again to be a student and to study these things, boy, it's a tremendous blessing. Get yourself a Strong's Concordance. Many of us have computers with search buttons, which is even better, because now you can search out more than one word. You can search out a phrase. You can search out two words that might show up in one verse. And so I use it all the time for finding things as I'm getting old and I can't remember nor discern good and evil like I used to. And so as we again learn some things from the Word of God, understand the depth of this book and the tremendous study material that we have before us. And so, again, as we've looked here at these characters, notice again the value of that in a Bible study. Notice again that, again, it's like a playlist of these guys. I remember reading this over and over, and I couldn't keep track of who Amasa was and Joab and Shemai. Shemai's pretty easy to track. Ziba and Barzillai and all these characters that we just walked through their lives for a moment. Again, that's just a part of the playlist that's involved in David's kingdom. And here, as we close out the book of 2 Samuel, in the closing of David's kingdom. Continue on in your Bible reading. Remember, 1 Samuel is about Saul. 2 Samuel is about David. 1 Kings about Solomon. And 2 Kings about all the rest of the kings. And so that'll help you, again, keep in your mind an outline of all that we're covering and learning from the Old Testament. Next Wednesday night, we'll be doing our roundtable meeting with Dr. Schauer's book that says, What on Earth is God Doing? And we'll review some of these kingdoms as we go through that process, because Dr. Schauer's put together a good book on looking at the big picture and this battle of kingdoms, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of Satan, and the kingdom of Satan is ahead right now. But we know the final chapter. And so I encourage you next week, get yourself a worksheet. Make sure you get that filled in. And we'll go ahead and do our roundtable Bible study next week out of Dr. Schauer's book. If I remember right, we're in chapter 2. I'm writing up a worksheet for chapter 3. So I might be wrong, but I think we're doing chapter 2 in the worksheet that we put out for that. Get a hold of that. If you can't, if you don't find yours, give me a call. I'll get you a copy. Again, let's go ahead and have a bigger picture study even than this, when we look at how the kingdom of David, the kings of Israel, fit into the bigger picture of what in the world is God doing in this battle that Satan is in the midst of here, even in this chapter, even in Absalom's life. Listen, even in a coronavirus that's been brought to America, understand that there's a bigger picture that Christians need to keep their eye on and recognize again. I've told a couple people already, said, never mind how you're going to deal with the coronavirus. The next question you're going to be dealing with a couple months is, how do you deal with the total collapse of the economy of the United States of America? If it don't come this year, it'll come. And so again, as we look again at Satan's power plays in America, understand the advances that he has already made to take over and convince the world that we evolved here. And man, again, plays right along into Satan's hand. Don't you? Let's go ahead, be wise, and again, let's be witnesses. And we're not in the last days, but boy, there's things coming into place. Or we are in the last days, but this isn't the end of the world. And there are things in place and coming up, even in our news, that fits very well into Satan's playbook. And the United States of America is largely ignorant and purposely ignorant of Satan and his devices. Don't you be. Let's be witnesses. Today is the day of salvation, and we need to take full advantage. So study your Bible. Keep reading if you're reading through with us that Bible schedule. If you got way behind and left off a couple books, never mind. Start over the next year. But again, this year, jump up to where we're at right now in 2 Samuel, closing 2 Samuel, beginning 1 Kings. And the Lord bless you as you study his word. Father, how I praise you and thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that we could be students of it. Thank you for a coronavirus. And Father, that it bumps us out of a rut. I pray again that we'd get back into a position where we could grow in you. I pray for Good Samaritan Baptist Church and ask that you'd touch this little church. And Father, thank you for the unity that's in our church. And thank you again for people praying one for another, staying in contact, staying to be edifying one another and strengthening during these times. Help us in that regard, but help us again, Father, that we could again be your witnesses and be a lighthouse. I don't know how you could grow our little church. We don't have live streaming. We don't have all the things that some of the big churches have, but we do have a love for you and some folks again that are going through some struggles that could cause again that your name would be lift up. And so we'll give you all the praise and thank you for your hand, even on this Bible study and on our love for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.